Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So let's head up to the Tar Heel State. Let's catch up with our buddy Brant Wilkerson. Of course, he's with the Greensboro News and Record. You can follow him on Twitter at Brant, BrantGNR. Every time I see that, I think Guns N' Roses. You know what I mean, Brant? I hope you're doing well.
Yes, everybody thinks I'm a big Guns N' Roses fan, but no, that's the Greensboro News and Record. But yep. Maybe I should get into the Guns N' Roses, make it work.
Well, next time you come on the show, we're going to play, instead of even talking to you about sports, we're just going to play clips of Guns N' Roses songs and see if you can identify them.
Hmm. Oh, God, I think I'd probably go 0 for whatever you played. That's not my strong suit.
No, I guess social media is not either. What the heck did you do earlier today to break Twitter, and how many times did you try to reload your screen when it went down for, what, about 90 minutes?
Oh, man, I thought it was just my awful tweet this morning about stuff other than sports that finally broke it. But, yeah, I was a little bit lost there. I didn't know what to do with the rest of my day, whether I should go to the gym and be a productive person or, play a game on my phone or what, because apparently Twitter just runs our lives at this point.
Especially us sports people, because, I mean, it was amazing. It was like, you know, people held their breath or something. One final question before we get into maybe a little bit of ACC football kickoff. How did you enjoy your Alaskan cruise that you did with your family? Because I hit you up with a couple of suggestions. Number one, did you ever put on a bathing suit? Did you have enough guts to put on your Speedo and go walk around on deck at 52 degrees?
Absolutely not. I'm a pretty warm person by nature. So I went up there a couple times. Went up in shorts, and it was freezing in seconds. I lost my mind. The experience is awesome. Yeah. It's absolutely beautiful. If you ever have the opportunity to go on an Alaska cruise, I would highly, highly recommend it. It's just, I mean, the views alone are worth it, and then all the cool stuff you can do off the boat.
Yeah, and you got to just, I was telling people, you got to just wrap your head around you may get some shorts on in Vancouver, but that's going to be it. So it's not your traditional cruise. But hey, it's not going to be our traditional ACC football kickoff up there next week in Charlotte. Listen, I've been kind of wondering, you look historically, Brant, returning to the scene of the crime, so to speak, which, I mean, Mac Brown coming back for a second stint at North Carolina. You go look and see the dysfunction it's been with Randy Edsall at UConn coming back. And those don't work out very well. And I've been fascinated to think how this is and what North Carolina fans' expectations are. But getting Miles Murphy, a four-star defensive tackle, most people assume we're going to go to South Carolina the other day. That's a huge building block in announcing that people are taking Mac Brown seriously.
Yeah, it's I remember the first time I heard the Mac Brown rumor that Sunday morning after Fedora's last loss, and we kind of knew he was out of here, and someone tweeted out Mac Brown, I think, and I was like, is this a joke? And then, you know, I've kind of come around on it and thought about it more, and it really is going well. I know shortly thereafter I was down at the North Carolina High School Association Championship press conference and talking to some coaches about what had gone wrong with the Fedora era and what would go right with the Mac Brown era. And some of the things that really rubbed coaches the wrong way in North Carolina is, I know we had some in our area out in Greensboro where there's a good bit of talent with Dudley especially and several other programs. They said that they hadn't seen Fedora or his staff in the school in a couple of years. So within a couple of weeks of being hired, Mac Brown and his guys that he was getting hired were out on the road and kind of remaking those relationships across North Carolina. I know they set the goal this year of this offseason of setting foot in every single school in North Carolina, and so far it looks like it's paying off because they've got a top 25 recruiting class already in the bag for next year. It looks like if they continue on this path, and they're kind of getting some of NC State's recruiting momentum slowed down because NC State had absolutely taken over the state last season in recruiting.
Well, speaking of NC State, I just saw this briefly pop up on social media in the last couple of hours. What can you tell us about the violations that just came out of Raleigh?
Oh, man, it's been a bad couple of days for NC State. They got their notice of allegations, and Russell Wilson was rocking a perm last night. And it's State is – they're dead to rights on this one because – I mean, it's an FBI investigation that uncovered all this stuff that they've been accused of as far as giving Dennis Smith money. And this isn't some kind of NCAA thing where they can flub it up with who can and can't investigate certain things. So they've got everything they need. It's a slam dunk. And the only question is how bad is it going to be for NC State itself? Because the two people named in the level one violations, Orlando Early, the assistant who was accused of giving Dennis Smith the money, and then Mark Godfrey, who is fired as a coach, they're all gone now. So State itself was accused of level two violations, but I think that the NCAA is kind of going to go out of its way to make an example of some of these programs that got swept up in this FBI business.
Well, North Carolina is big enough that they just sort of got a slap on the wrist when they had their academic fraud allegations come out. Does NC State have that kind of cachet, or do you think they'll actually get some real punishment out of this?
No, I think State's going to see some amount of punishment. I don't know whether it will be a postseason ban or loss of scholarships or practice time or whatever. The difference is that Carolina, for whatever they did or didn't do, they argued the case correctly. I mean, they got off on a technicality in a lot of ways that the NCAA really had not legislated anything about what you can or can't do in your curriculum, and Carolina argued that expertly. They got off, but this is textbook extra benefits case, so State really doesn't have a whole lot to stand on aside from just going up there and pleading for mercy on this one.
Goodness gracious. Welcome to NC State Boo Corrigan. You know what I mean? Brant, so we continue with Brant Wilkerson, covers Duke, NC State, North Carolina, Tobacco Road for the Greensboro News and Record. And Brant, you know, it's Listtober, it's talking season. Who's got the best football team in college in the state of North Carolina this year? I mean, because to me, the X factor is we don't know what's going to happen. Is it a quick turnaround? How bad was the mess at North Carolina? But I never thought you could almost make the case it can be Wake Forest.
I think the best team overall in North Carolina, and I'm sure Diesel's going to love this, but I think it might be Appalachian State really might be the best team in North Carolina.
Suck up.
They've got the most kind of coming back that you can really believe in as far as Zach Thomas, and they've just had things rolling. The question mark is whether Drinkwitz will just take it and run with it. But, you know, you got to like what Wake Forest has done. They've established a culture there with Dave Clawson. They're going to play defense, and they're going to be strong in the lines, and they're going to be smart. And, Cade Kearney, they've got a good running back stable there. So, NC State's got potential. They've got a whole lot of talent they've built. It's just kind of unproven. And then I think behind them, Carolina and Duke are a step behind those right now. East Carolina's rebuilding, but I like what they have in the future in Houston there. He's won everywhere he's been. So things are on the upswing here in North Carolina for football, but it's nothing quite like what you guys have down there in your area.
It's okay. You can tell me you regret your decision to leave Boone and go be a bigger reporter in a bigger city. It's okay. You can tell us that.
Dude, I regret my decision to leave Boone all the time. I mean, think about just living on top of those mountains and going to the Daniel Boone Inn and the Boone Saloon and just all that stuff up there. It's an awesome place to live. It just wasn't meant to be for much longer. I got a pretty good gig, but I would go back in a second if I ever found the right scenario for it.
That means you and Ethan have to fight to the death for the title of beat reporter for App State.
We'll Facebook Live matchup.
I've got better hair now, so okay. I mean, I think that's what it's come down to.
So, Brant, in honor, yesterday we had one of your counterparts on, if you will, Manny Robinson from the Greenville News. They've been doing a big series on Clemson football. Who do you think maybe is voted? I think, to me, the most fascinating vote in this year when it comes to the media might be who ends up in that second slot in the Atlantic Division. Any idea? Because, you know, it's dysfunction at Florida State. NC State loses their quarterback, but like you said, they've recruited well. I mean, it's really wide open right there.
Yeah, it's as wide open as it's been in that division as far as, you know, behind Clemson, because Clemson, obviously, they're going to be the number one pick in the league. Whoever doesn't vote them number one, and I'm sure there will be one person, needs to be tarred and feathered. But I think it's really hard to pick. You know, Boston College has done some good things lately. I think I like Syracuse, really. Yeah. I think that I like the way that Dino Babers has built that program. He's got an exciting offense. They always seem to find a guy that can go for like 1,200 yards receiving, and they just seem to be on the right track. But I wouldn't discount Florida State too much. I was reading that story, and I think it was from Bleacher Report recently, that was just kind of detailing the mess that Jimbo left behind there. And it sounded like Willie Taggart was pretty positive about, you know, what they were able to accomplish last year as far as changing the culture. And, you know, it's Florida State. They're always going to have talent, and they're always going to be able to get talent. So I don't think it's going to be down for too long, but I do like Syracuse to make a run to second in the Atlantic this year.
All right, final question for you. We did a whole deal yesterday on favorite coach speak terms. I'm talking, we broke it down, you know, from after practice to halftime to postgame. What is the most overused coach speak term that you feel like will hit your eardrums come Wednesday and Thursday in Charlotte?
Oh man, we gotta watch the film. That's always a good one, because I always wondered when coaches said that in the post game. I was like, it's your job to watch the game. It's your job to make adjustments on the fly. So if you gotta say you gotta watch the film, then what were you doing out there? Like, or were you not watching the game? Were you not understanding what your team was doing wrong?
Yep, that's a great one. All right, Brant, yeah, again, with the Greensboro News and Record, tell our listeners they can go follow you on Twitter at BrantGNR, and that's B-R-A-N-T. Tell our listeners what you're working on, because, you know, now that the Big 12's gotten started, guess what? Football season is here.
It is. It's football season. We got that coming up next week with ACC kickoff, but I'm working on a pretty neat series that I hope will come out by the end of summer, where I'm looking at the things that schools are doing to help student athletes with mental health and wellness, and kind of other programs to help them off the field with their lives and stuff like that. So hopefully that'll turn out to be pretty good, and it's something that I care a lot about. So we'll see.
Absolutely, and keep up that great work. Listen, stop by the ESPN Upstate broadcast place on Wednesday. Say hey to Mark Ryan and Lonzo. They'll be up there representing ESPN Upstate. Like, you moving from Dune, from Boone to Greensboro, I'm moving from Clemson to the Panthers this year. So I'll maybe get a chance to see you up there in the press box in Charlotte.
Awesome, dude. Well, congrats. I'll look forward to seeing you up there.
All right. Thanks much, Brant. Appreciate it, as always. And again, go give Brant Wilkerson a follow on Twitter at BrantGNR, and of course, at News and Record for the Greensboro News and Record. All right, Diesel, when we come back, phone lines are open at 844-GSP-ESPN. Who's on the hot seat nationally? CBSSports.com did a fantastic breakdown of who's on the hot seat, what their score is for all 130 football coaches. Let's take a look across the ACC and the SEC and see how those graded out.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Diesel, you know, we've shared stories today about the ladies from the New Kids show last night. Diddy's comments about Salt and Peppa and Naughty by Nature were dope. The story from Newsweek, a couple's caught in a stolen car with a rattlesnake, Kentucky Deluxe bourbon, and in a can of uranium. You know, three things you wouldn't expect to hear together.
And he was wearing a leather Harley Davidson vest.
Yeah. All right. So, is there anything wrong with this one? This is from at AZ Family, Arizona Family. It is a TV station, a CBS TV station. Driver charged after using a case of beer as a child booster seat. That seat's fairly practical. You see the photo?
It's solid. It's not going anywhere. I think that's a great idea. Charged with what? Child endangerment?
Probably. I mean, failure to have a booster seat, I guess.
Oh, well,
you know, okay. What I mean?
That sort of makes sense.
Yeah, but...
I get that.
I mean... I will retweet this at Sturgis Sports here in just a second. Actually, now you got me curious to see what the charges are. It says, if you don't have a proper booster seat, don't try to make one. I mean, again, that's fairly practical. I love the fact that it's Bud Light or Bud Ice, and they're trying to wipe it out to where you can't see it in the photo. But, I mean, you know what? 22-year-old, what's a car seat? 100-and-something bucks these days?
It's expensive.
$20 for a case of Bud Light, man, that's fairly practical when all said and done. But I tell you, you can't make this stuff up. That's why we say all the time, the truth is always the best story. So anyway, hot seat rankings. CBSSports.com did a big article today. They actually labeled out all 130 head football coaches and where on a level of 0 to 5, where the hot seat, you know, what their hot seat number is. Now, it works backwards. There were 3 coaches, Diesel, that were rated a 5, which means win or be fired now. 6 coaches were labeled a 4, which means start improving now. 12 coaches were labeled a 3, which means pressure is mounting. 39 coaches were labeled 2s, which means all good, ... for now. 58 coaches were labeled 1, which means safe and secure. And 12 coaches were actually labeled as 0s, which means untouchable. Now, I would bet that you know 2 that have 0s attached to their name right off the top of your head. That would be Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban, right? So, where do you think, interestingly enough, because, I mean, that was easy enough to figure out. I wanted to see what CBS did. I mean, they really broke it down, too. How they've done, how recruiting's going, what the fan base feels like, things of that nature. Where do you think Will Muschamp came in, Diesel, when it comes to the ranking of 0 to 5, 5 being you get ready to get fired, 0 meaning you're untouchable?
I'm going to guess he's a 4.
He is not. He is. They actually got him as a 2.
What?
Yeah.
What is 2 again? What's the designation?
2 means all good, ... for now.
I would say pressure is mounting. Was that a 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so I really think I really meant he's a 3.
Okay. Yeah, you know, here's the deal. He gets a little bit of a pass, if you will. And South Carolina fans, you know, please, if you feel different, bring it to us at 844 GSP ESPN. He gets a little bit of a pass in the fact that, you know, we saw that and we heard Brant Wilkerson in the previous segment allude to the SB Nation article about the shape that Jimbo Fisher left Florida State in. That's why he thinks Willie Taggart, gets a pass, if you will. I think Muschamp in the fact that, you know, he was dealt a little bit of a bad hand in the fact that Spurrier kind of quit recruiting the last year and a half, and he was ready to walk away, got to let himself get talked out of it, and he hates himself. Let me rephrase that. He's not happy of the fact that he let himself be talked into coming back when he was ready to leave, and that's one of his regrets. So, they have Muschamp as a 2. All right, here's who they have is the 3 coaches that are win or be fired now, and that is Lovie Smith at Illinois. They say the amount of love for Lovie surprised me when I had him on this list last year. There were plenty of folks in Smith's corner. There was progress. There was the contract extension, they said, but improvement in year 3 to 4 and 8, they said. But the buyout has been reduced, and the Big Ten isn't getting any easier. Also, they have Rutgers head coach Chris Ash as a 5. Hey, the University of New Jersey, they're going to be behind the 8 ball when it comes to the Big Ten every single year. The only other one they have is a 5 is Bob Davey at the University of New Mexico. And it's not so much the fact that they went 3-9 the last 2 seasons. He's also had kind of a weird deal when it comes to some off the field issues. Let's get Delvin, then Corey. Delvin, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
You talking about this list? I saw the list. It's some of the coaches, like, of course, you know, you would think that the first year coaches, you know, they would get a warrant safe and secure because they just got the job. But one of those new coaches got a two as all good for now, and that's Rod Carey, who's going to Temple. I'm shocked right there. I thought he'd be number one, like, safe and secure at Temple. I guess they got him all good for now. So I guess they're saying, hey, he's good for now, but in years, so he could be in trouble. So, I mean, he just got the job. But the other new coaches, like Eli Drinkwitz, they got warrants and stuff, like, they safe and secure, but he got all good for now.
I would think that is in the fact that Temple is going to they can't at this point, Diesel. You see games from Philadelphia Eagles Stadium up there with Temple, what, 8, 10, 12,000 fans? And, shoot, they played in a bowl game last year.
It's not good.
So I don't think that they're going to let this new guy, like, take what they've done here. And Temple's been a good program for the better part of a decade now, ever since Al Golden was there. I don't think he gets 3 years to let it fall apart. You know what I mean? They tried passing the torch on from Jeff Collins, and he's at Georgia Tech now. I would just think that you know, based off of what a couple of other previous coaches, but I'm with you. That's not exactly what you want to see. Wow, I don't even get a one my first year? Yeah, but, you know, Temple kind of an afterthought. Corey, my man, I hope you're doing well. Is Ryan Day, is Coach Day in any way, shape, or form under any pressure in year number one? He is perfect, a 3-0 as interim head coach. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. Good to hear you. Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, he came in, had those three games, really didn't play anybody, but they blew him out. But That was with Dwayne Haskins and the team that we had, and they looked good. But then he had to take a bench, sit down, and watch the rest of it. And you would think that they would take a seat and take a hit with the recruiting, but they really didn't. I mean, it's Ohio State. I mean, you're going to have those big recruits and stuff, but we also know that regardless of the fact of what it is, you can, you know, go undefeated in that situation. But if you don't beat Michigan, or if you were to go undefeated, so you might not even get in the playoffs, how are they going to look at it when they could still probably go out and get any big-name coach?
Let me ask you this. You're a Big Ten guy and Ohio State fan and everything else. Not on this list. We mentioned the three that they had win now. I agree. Lovie Smith, Illinois, he's got new facilities. Who cares about Rutgers and Bob Davey? Now, the guys that have a four are Clay Helton at Southern Cal. No problem that. Willie Taggart at Florida State. That might be a little bit high. Where do you think Harbaugh sits on this list? And this is the reason I ask you, Corey. I know y'all are rivals, but with Justin Fields, huge question mark. You got to get Dobbins dropped off a little bit last year at running back. You need to get him up a little bit. If Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, if they got as much talent as people are trying to sell me, and they can't get this win over Ohio State this year, I think he should be 3 or 4 on this list, and he's not even there.
Yeah, I would put him. I'm sure the list probably would have him at a 4, just because the whole point of, I mean, you know, like you said, the rivalry and the matchup. You know, he hasn't beaten him, and he's about to play Day. It'd be in the back and forth, the same situation. If Harbaugh loses today, then I would say that they're going to start shopping around, if not get him out of there right away. You know, like you said, with the new quarterback and the running back situation. I mean, I could see them both being on the hot seat regardless of where they had, because you could win or lose either that game, but nobody make it into the playoff, and then both of them are boom, you know, with the big-name programs.
All right. But I got one more question since for your Big Ten love. Who's your X factor this year?
It's going to be Dobbins. I mean, that running back situation. I mean, I know with the new quarterback and Justin Fields, but if they take the scheme – and make him a true running quarterback or a true passing quarterback, but you have an effective player like Dobbins to run the ball. If they don't effectively do that, I could see us losing, you know, 2 or 3 games, like a trap game against Iowa or Purdue, or losing them both and then being, you know, for the first time in I can't tell you how many years, you know, 5 or 6, having 2 or 3 losses.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Corey. That Big Ten East is going to be a battle between Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State. But telling you, Nebraska and Northwestern on the other side. Number one, Nebraska with Adrian Martinez. Number two, wait until you see how talented Hunter Johnson was or is. You'll be starting at quarterback for Northwestern, who represented the West last year. I'm telling you right now, people are going to be surprised how much talent was in that quarterback room at one time at Clemson before Hunter Johnson transferred out.
I haven't been a fan of the whole restructure since they moved the Legions and Legends and put us all on the same side. I know about being nervous about it now, Serge.
All right, buddy. We'll come see you soon and hit me up. I'll talk to you later. That's our good friend Corey. Hadn't been out that much, so haven't seen. But did end up meeting a bunch of women coming in from the best show I've ever seen. Diesel, can we now... If it's on Twitter, it's true, correct? Is that what we have decided?
No, that is not true.
Dadgum. If we say it live over the airwaves, does it become true? I heard it on the radio. It's got to be true.
If it comes from you, then it's spurious at best.
I still think, I believe what, I was so stunned by the comment that Salt and Pepper and Naughty by Nature were dope. Our good buddy Diddy, who comes on here. I was having a heart attack as I caught that comment. I think he also said that was the best concert that he's ever been to. 844-GSP-ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So, Diesel, you know, can we call it a suck-up Thursday? I mean, you heard Brant Wilkerson sucking up to you that App State may be the most complete football team in the state of North Carolina this year under first-year head coach Neil Drinkwitz, who, by the way, has a 1 for his rating. Eli Drinkwitz. Neil Brown at West Virginia. Sorry about that. But he has a safe and secure next to him. We'll go through this is according to Dennis Dodd. He ranked all 130 coaches in college, major college football. Division One, even though FCS is technically Division One, they're not on this list. He's got
not technically, it is Division.
Well, I know. All right, he's got Jim Harbaugh as a 3, which means pressure is mounting. But is it really? Is the pressure really mounting? He's lost to every single major opponent for the most part: Penn State, Ohio State. He's had some nice years, but it's not what anyway, I know that's probably some of my disdain for it, but they have Mark D'Antonio as a 1. So it is a difference in expectations. D'Antonio been there 12 years, Harbaugh 4. When it comes to the ACC, Diesel, they have one coach that has a 4. We mentioned it's Willie Taggart. Now, he could really get off the hot seat very quickly. I think there's some people that question the fact that the way he left South Florida to go across the country to Oregon to 1 year later come back to Florida State, there's been a whole lot of movement. But season tickets, but listen, Florida State left him in a little bit of a mess when it comes to facilities and other things. So Willie Taggart is a 4. There's only one other coach, and I can't believe this. Talking about doing sometimes more with less – only one other coach in the ACC has a 3. You care to take a stab at who it might be? Again, 4 being the highest for Willie Taggart. This coach has a 3, and I was really surprised.
In the SEC?
No, in the ACC. Sorry. That you got to think. You know, there's really not.
I don't know.
Steve Adazio at Boston College. You know, they didn't get a bowl win this year. Why? Because remember, Mother Nature rained them and lightened them out there at the Heart of Dallas Bowl, whatever they call it, First Responders Bowl, I think it was this past year. You know, the weather was so bad in the second quarter, they ended up just canceling the game. So, but he's been to multiple bowl games. They, if you go look at BC's facilities as compared to others, just not there. BC's a small private Catholic school. But he is, you know, BC has played Clemson as physically and as tough as any team, you know, in the last 8-10 years. So I can't believe Steve Addazio would be the next highest rated coach in the ACC, according to Dennis Dodd. Now, rolling through the rest of them, it's all twos and ones. The twos, again, interesting, but I can't believe for the life of me he had Dino Babers listed as a two. A two means all good, dot, 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 for now. All Dino Babers has done is take a program from nothing to double-digit wins last year. Now, a lot of people are wondering, you know, Eric, you know, the quarterback, what a big difference that may make. But Pat Narduzzi is a two. All he did was get Pitt to the conference championship game last year. And with no home stadium, yes, they play at the Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium. And much like South Florida, you are an afterthought when it comes to that stadium. You know what I mean? And you're the second fiddle, if you will. And then Justin Fuente, I can start to believe that one a little bit, Deez, because, you know, following a legend, and Frank Beamer was a legend in college football, is a very difficult thing to do. I have had a man crush on Justin Fuente since he was at Memphis. However, Mike Norvell has done a really good job in 3 years, having won 26 games. So, yeah, I think Justin Fuente is starting to feel it a little bit. And then how in the world can you have Dave Clawson as a two? Again, all good, dot, 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 for now. That's what two is. Three consecutive bowl wins, three consecutive winning seasons. You could say that that's some of the you know, rarefied air of Wake Forest football history. So, no, he should be a one, safe and secure, no doubt about it. Here are the ones. David Cutcliffe, for the same reasons that Dave Clawson should be a one. Cutcliffe has won consistently, what, six bowl games in the last 7 years at Duke. Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech had a nice run at Temple. He's taken over, but he's safe and secure. Why? Because he's going to be trying to pound some square pegs into round holes when it comes to the type of offense that Paul Johnson just left him. Mack Brown at North Carolina, that's a one. Dave Dorn's a one. Manny Diaz is a one. Can't believe Zach Brown. Number one, I can't believe Zach Brown went to New Kids on the Block last night. Number two, I can't believe he's not calling in going,
we should call
Manny
him up.
Diaz is a zero, baby.
We should call him up to ask if he thought the show was dope.
Or how was the lighting? I don't know, because he says I'm the only guy that walks in a room and looks up immediately. So I'm sure he checked out the light show as well. But again, you know, Manny Diaz with a one. Also, Scott Satterfield, the new head coach at Louisville. And then finally, Bronco Mendenhall. I mean, that's the most underrated coach when it comes to the ACC, Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia. The only one with a zero when it comes to the ACC was Dabo Swinney. So what about the SEC? Again, we mentioned they've got Coach Muschamp as a two, all good for now. There are two other coaches in the SEC that are zero, which means untouchable. But are they really? Who knows? 844-GSP, ESPN. Which coach do you think's on the hot seat? Because there's some questions on this one. I still think Gus Malzahn might have the hottest of them all. We've been talking about this article on CBSSports.com, Dennis Dodd's ranking of the hot seat when it comes to coaches in college football. Again, in the ACC, Willie Taggart with a four at Florida State, just year number two. Highest hot seat, if you will, with Steve Addazio one spot behind him with a three. Dabo the only one with a zero, which means untouchable. We mentioned with the SEC, he gave Will Muschamp a two, which means all good, dot, 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 for now. There was one other coach in the SEC, Deez, that has a zero. Obviously, Nick Saban's a zero. Do you know who else that they rated as a zero? Because I want your opinion if it's actually the case. But Kirby Smart at Georgia. Is he a zero right now?
I mean, I understand why they put him in a zero, but I don't think he's a zero. I'd say he's a one.
Same here. Why? Because didn't finish real strong last year. Number two, you've had a lot of things going on off the field. And at some point, those little things ticky-tack up because, same thing happened with Phil Fulmer for doing something. He had to go sit in some NCAA violation class. So enough of this ticky-tack stuff, and not all of it's been ticky-tack, to be honest with you, but I think at some point that puts him at a one instead of a zero, but that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Only one coach in the SEC has, or two coaches in the SEC have a three. That is the highest hot seat, if you will, when it comes to the Southeastern Conference Diesel. Care to give a guess? I'm sure you know who one of them is because we've talked about he may have the hottest of the hot seats. Gus Malzahn. The other one, think of who has the biggest disadvantage in the SEC when it comes to football. And obviously now basketball.
That would be Vandy.
You're correct. So Derek Mason and Gus Malzahn are three. It's all coming in at a two is Chad Morris at Arkansas. Again, two means all good for now. Chad Morris at Arkansas, Ed Orgeron at LSU, Matt Luke at Ole Miss, Barry Odom at Missouri, Will Muschamp at South Carolina, and Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. Ones are Dan Mullen from the University of Florida and Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, and then Joe Moorhead, who will head into year number two at Mississippi State. So there is a little bit more heat when it comes to the SEC. Now, a couple other, I mean, it should. Where would you, according to this list, 0 to 5, where would you put Brian Kelly at Notre Dame?
Probably at a 2.
They have a 1 trending toward a 2, and I'm with you because you know what? At some point, they made it to the college football playoff. My problem with Notre Dame is when they've gotten there to that promised land, they haven't showed up.
Yeah, they keep getting blown out on the nation's biggest stage.
Yep, I mean, they're so – I can't decide if Notre Dame is sitting in the catbird seat, so to speak, being the – well, I know, number one, they fleeced the ACC to no end. And to me, it's still a little bit shameful. Others disagree. But if you're not all in as a conference member, then you're not going to be independent when it comes to football. And then take, good God, everything that ACC offers in every other, in the other sport. So I wouldn't do that. But the other thing is you got your own channel, NBC. You know, I'm not sure, we keep talking about that rule book, Diesel, of unwritten rules that we'd love to see or something. But basically, it felt like 25, 30 years ago that if you were Catholic, you, number one, had to put a shamrock on the back of your car. And number two, you had to make a donation to the Notre Dame Athletic Fund. You know what I mean? Didn't matter where you went to school, what part of the country you grew up. Hence Rudy being made. But, you got that type of built-in fan base, whether they went to Notre Dame or not. What are the expectations? It should be at least to put up a fight if you make it to the grandest of stages. But, there were benefits of not playing a conference championship game last year either. So, Brian Kelly is a one, but it says it could trend toward a two this year. And I'm telling you, one of the biggest games, it's not Labor Day night when they go on the road to Louisville. I don't think Scott Satterfield was left this deep team that was just what I saw last year was a out-of-shape football team that had a complete and total lack of effort. I think you have to have 1 year to transition those people out of the program. So I don't see Notre Dame having any issues on Labor Day night when it comes to playing at Louisville. What I see is a potential beatdown, and it's going to be a judgment game for me, Diesel, is I think it's September 28th when Notre Dame goes to Between the Hedges for, I think, the first time ever in Athens, Georgia. Remember what a big game that was a couple of years ago up in South End? Well, they've been waiting on this one in Athens for a while as well. So if they don't show up in that game, then it's the same old Notre Dame, because a lot of their schedule's manageable. You know, some of their big rivals when it comes to Southern Cal and a few others, they're down right now. Michigan and Georgia are, in my opinion, the two toughest games. But they're both on the road, and we'll see how that pans out. All right, just a couple that caught my attention when all was said and done. Sean Elliott is a 2 with a 9-15 record at Georgia State. I know you always kind of, you know, as he came in from South Carolina, have caught up with him. Yeah, I've been saying for a long time, Lovey Smith, and he's 1 of 3 with a 5 at Illinois. There's a lot of good football played in that Chicago area all the way down through St. Louis, and the, you know, University of Illinois is given a lot of upgrades and facilities and things of that nature. There's no reason. No reason whatsoever. Kirk Ferentz, also in the Big Ten. They have him as a 0, but could trend toward a 1. What do you think about that, Diesel? Because I think that's more of the landscape. He is the only coach in college football with 20 or more years at one location. So he gets to write when he goes on.
I mean, I personally love Kirk Ferentz. I love what he's done at Iowa. I love everything he stands for, and I love what the program stands for. Eventually, winning will mean everything, but it does it right now. I mean, Iowa wins a lot of football games, but they don't win at the level that I think a lot of Iowa fans would want them to. Right now, they've been this feel-good program. They've been the bastion of how you do things for a long time.
Consistency,
but they want to win.
Can they?
Especially in a Big Ten that is essentially Ohio State, Michigan, and everybody else.
Yeah, we're looking for somebody in that Western division to step up. You know, is it going to be Nebraska with Adrian Martinez? Will it be Northwestern representing that side of the league again with the 7-win record? But I'm telling you, watch out for them. Hunter Johnson, much, much improvement at the quarterback position for Northwestern. So, you know, it's going to be fascinating, and it is according to what your expectations are. I mean, like Indiana, I bet you couldn't even tell me the name of their coach right now, but he's a 2. He's a 2. Why? Because at 10-15, Tom Allen has the fortunes of being a football coach at a basketball school. So it's completely different, no doubt about it. Matt Campbell, again, Iowa State, watch out for them in the Big 12. I was surprised to see them voted number 3 when it came to Big 12, the media poll at Big 12 Media Days. So when we come back, Diesel, Drinkwitz is a 1. What would you give Don Mutson's ranking here? A 0? Because, my goodness, when you've been to 4 consecutive college football playoffs, that means probably safe and secure or untouchable, because you don't want to mess with this role. We'll speak with our buddy, the App State grad, Don Mutson, the voice of the Clemson Tigers. When we come back, don't forget, we'll be back here in studio tomorrow. But, Diesel, they need to go give us a follow on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Go to our Facebook page. Also, the website, ESPNUpstate.com, loading new articles up every single day. And, of course, as always, you have us on 97.7 FM in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM in Easley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.